The Boy Scout motto is, be prepared. I'm the father, proud father of an Eagle Scout. Be prepared. This is what Jesus is telling us, and probably more. This is what he's advocating, is that we be prepared. All right? The goal is to be found when Jesus returns, faithfully doing what the Lord would have us do. Faithfully about his business when he comes back. You've probably heard the expression, don't fall asleep at the switch. You know, back in earlier railroad days when there were tracks meshing and someone had to sit at the switch that changed tracks, if he fell asleep, didn't do his job, there would very, very high likelihood of a deadly crash happening. Don't fall asleep at the switch. It's not always easy to be alert when you have to wait a long time. Staying alert is a chore. Staying alert, have you ever been late at night driving somewhere and you're fighting sleep? It's hard to stay awake sometimes, but it is our call. It's what the Lord expects of us, is that we will be alert and vigilant, and we don't let up on that. It's something you attend to all the time, of being alert. The Lord said, the Lord told this story in Matthew 25 about waiting. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Let me find that real quick. It's in here somewhere. Then the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, when the bridegroom was coming, was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to fall asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come to meet him. Then those virgins who rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil so that our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for all you, for all of us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and get some for yourselves. I guess the oil store was open at midnight. But while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also sang, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour that you will come. They were warned. Now, I got to thinking about keeping your oil in your lamps. This little pouch, when I travel, this goes with me, and it's filled with wires. And cords. There's computer cords. There's phone cords. Anymore, this is keeping our oil in our lamps. Show and tell. If the last thing I do when I go to bed at night is plug my phone in, and then it gets charged up while I'm sleeping. Keep the oil in your lamps. Be vigilant. Be prepared. Be ready. This little story tells us about this. So we are waiting for the Lord, and while we wait, we are warned, we are told, be vigilant, be alert, make sure you've got oil, make sure you've got your phone cord with you so that you're ready when he comes. Be ready. The Lord warns us, be ready for when I come. And he gives them this little picture. If the owner of the house had known what time the burglar was going to come, he wouldn't let him break in. But he kind of fell asleep at the switch. So Jesus gives them this illustration that they can relate to. Jesus promised to be back. He promised to come back. That promise hasn't changed. But he doesn't tell us when. He just says he's coming back. He doesn't tell us when. So we are living our lives now, in a sense, in the second advent. Everything in history from the time of Jesus' resurrection until he comes back is Advent. It's waiting for the coming of the Lord. Truly I say to you, the ones that he finds doing his work, he will put into greater responsibility. Peter asks him, you know, are you talking to us also, or are you just talking to the general populace? And he doesn't really directly answer the question. When Peter says, who is this story for? He then proceeds to tell them that they should all be faithful stewards. A steward is an employee who has responsibility on behalf of his employer, taking care of his master's things. He has to be diligent at that like it was his own, but it's not. It's for someone else. One of the best stories of being ready, being prepared, I think, is Joseph in the book of Genesis. You remember his story when Joseph was a lad. I think he was a brat. He treated his brothers with kind of arrogance. Dad gave me a coat. Nah, 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 nah. Well, he finally pushed his brothers over the edge and they sold him into slavery. And he grew up. The episode from the time he's sold till the time he becomes prime minister of Egypt is about 14 years. So Joseph gets sold into slavery. He winds up in Egypt. He winds up in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar eventually makes him the head of his household. And he's diligent at that. And he's good at his job. He's faithful to his employer. And then, you know, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph. And Joseph said, how could I do that? You know, my master entrusts everything to me. He doesn't worry about anything in his household because he trusts me. How could I betray him? And so he's faithful. Faithful to his calling, faithful to his stewardship, faithful to the Lord God. The Potiphar's wife, of course, is ticked. She lies to her husband, said, Joseph tried to seduce me. Twist the story. Joseph winds up getting tossed into jail. A gross injustice, a miscarriage of justice. But Joseph continues in a faithful pattern. And he's so good at what he does in this faithful stewardship, he winds up with this great responsibility within the jail. And so he climbs back up a second time. And then, you know, the baker and all that, there's a story of Joseph asking these guys to tell Pharaoh about me. Tell Pharaoh, let me out of jail. And they forget, and the story plays out. But eventually Joseph is released from jail. He's been faithful all the time. And he winds up working directly for Pharaoh, the most powerful man in Egypt, second only unto Pharaoh. So he spends 14 years in faithful stewardship. He eventually gets placed in a position of great responsibility. He was wronged, and yet he continued along the path. And when Joseph then begins to interpret Pharaoh's dreams for him, Pharaoh says to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the divine spirit? So Pharaoh says to Joseph, since God's informed you of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my whole house. So once again, he climbs and he's put in great responsibility. Now he's still in the role of a steward of caring for somebody else's goods, somebody else's business, but he continues in faithfulness. Now, we don't know what Joseph knew during that time. My hunch is, it's just a hunch, he had no idea what the future held. When he was in jail, he had no idea if he'd ever get out. So he had to remain faithful in spite of not knowing if this would ever come to an end. And so he's faithful, the faithful steward through it all. And then eventually he winds up in a position of great responsibility. If the slave says, my master is going to be a long time in coming, and then he behaves accordingly, then when the master comes back, he will be severely punished. So this is about preparing and about doing so in spite of not having any idea when the Lord will come. Now let me just say, parenthetically here, not knowing when, waiting for a long time can kill hope. When we're in a position of responsibility and we don't know how long, we have to maintain hope. And time can kill hope. So when do sports teams, this goes back now to being prepared, When do sports teams begin to prepare for a game? It's not the day of the game. It's not the day before the game. Hours and hours and weeks and days over and over. They know the day is coming. They know Saturday will arrive. And so they prepare with that in view. Most of the time we don't. I was thinking, my world is music. You know, my dad was a music teacher. And, you know, I grew up in that world. I grew up in a high school band room and went to college. And contrary to my father's advice, I majored in music. He said, don't major in music, don't, because you can't make any money playing music professionally and so on. Anyway, my brother listened, I didn't. So I got my degree in music. So after I graduated from college, I had a few private students who would come over and flute and sax. I would teach them. And when the students came and began to play for me during their lesson, in about 3 seconds, I knew whether or not they had practiced that week. It became quickly obvious. My dad used to say, better to practice 15 minutes a day than 3 hours once a week. It's just the steady, relentless practice. So, you know, next time I play flute in here, I begin to practice to play flute in worship in 1959. That's when I started playing flute. And I've been practicing ever since. I'm really bothered by the term practicing medicine. Because I've been practicing flute for 66 years and I'm still not any good. Now, Pablo Casals is one of the world's greatest cello players. When he was in his late 80s, early 90s, he was still practicing 4 or 5 hours a day. And someone said, why are you still practicing? He says, because I think I'm making some progress. So there are those disciplines that we spend hours and hours. I don't know what the exact numbers play out to, but if you compare a football team and the marching band and the number of hours of practice and the number of hours of performance, the band puts almost in a greater ratio of practice to performance, because their halftime show when they play is 10 or 15 minutes. And they've spent the entire week preparing, not to mention the personal practice of the individual musicians. So hours and hours go into the preparing for performance. Be prepared. Practice. You may not know when your performance is coming, but you have to keep practicing. When I worked at Disneyland years ago, back 100 years ago, I hung around one of the bands a little bit, the Pearly Band, taken from the Mary Poppins story. The Pearly Band would walk around. They had a sax, so drum, and so on. One of the guys in the Pearly Band was named Ron, and when they were doing stage performances, Ron played piano, and he played good piano, and so here he is. He's making it. He's making money professionally playing music. And one time, I happened to be in the break area where they were, and upstairs in this break area, there was a piano. And so Ron, on his break, went upstairs to the piano and practiced scales over and over. And I could just hear him doing this. I thought, this guy has made it. He's making money. He's home free when it comes to music. He's still practicing, working at it. Let's talk about practicing prayer. What about practicing prayer? There's different ways to do that, and we do practice it. You know, when you're 14 years old and you know the Lord, you don't know as much about prayer as you do when you're 60 or 70, and you've had a lifetime of prayer. We work at it. Daniel, the book of Daniel, you read his story, and he was ordered, the king's fiat came down and said, nobody will pray, but Daniel prayed anyway. He was faithful at it. And he knelt by a window, and somebody caught him praying and turned him in. And, of course, there's the old lion's den thing. But in the end, the king promoted Daniel. But he'd been at it, praying, practicing prayer the whole time. So we must work at it. We don't know when the day will come, but let the Lord find us doing what he's told us to do when he returns. You've probably heard the expression, someone being a fat Christian, faithful, available, and teachable. And is that the hallmark of our lives, being faithful, practice? Luke 19, he said to them, "Well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in very little, you are to have authority over 10 cities." Faithful in a little, practicing, doing what the Lord would have us do, so that when he returns, he will find us doing what he said. We don't know when he'll come back, but he will come back. When we are waiting for someone to come, it can be really tough. I can remember as a kid waiting, my brother and I waiting, if some favorite adult like my grandparents were coming to visit. We knew they were coming. We didn't know exactly when. And so we'd be at the window looking, or out in the driveway. When are Grandma and Grandpa going to be here? We would look and we would wait. It was hard, but eventually they would show up. "Being faithful in a little, I'll put you over much." We don't know the date of his return, but he will come back. He's promised to come back. He will come back, and we need to be faithful in doing what he called us to do. This is the preparation. Doing what Jesus calls us to do, no matter the setting, if we make a habit of that, if we make a pattern of that, then we will be faithful. I wanted Carol to tell you the story this morning about Stevie, because you guys have been almost 2 years you've been handing out sandwiches. So Peter and Carol and Laura and other folks been going every Saturday for a couple of years giving sandwiches and cookies and water. Not saying much, just handing them over and over. They became familiar faces. They were faithful to this call to feed the hungry. And then Stevie says, "I'm not feeling well." And look at this opportunity. He didn't know he was going to die the next day. Carol didn't know he was going to die the next day. But she was faithful to do what God called her to do. I told her last night, "You might see Stevie in heaven one day." Who knows the impact of that prayer in his life? Being faithful to do what God calls us to do, no matter what, no matter when. The value of hope. "Let us not lose heart in doing good," Galatians 6. "For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Be ready, Jesus said. Don't grow weary. Don't let time kill your hope. Luke 18, now he was telling them a parable to show them all the times that they ought to be praying and not lose heart. Be faithful. Being faithful is part of our preparation for the Lord's return. It's a big part. Being faithful to do the things that God calls us to do, not knowing when it will be time to bear the fruit of that long time labor. Be prepared. Being prepared is taking action beforehand to get ready. What can we do beforehand to get ready? Practicing piano, whatever it might be. Be prepared. Practice. Do what you need to do so that when the time comes, you're ready to go. You're ready to do it. How do we prepare for the Lord's return spiritually? Simply by doing these simple things. Don't worry about if anybody knows about it. Just do what God calls you to do. Be faithful to share the good news. Who knows what will happen in that person's life? Day to day, be faithful to obey what the Scripture tells you. Be doing what Jesus would have been doing. You know, when Joseph and Mary and Jesus were in Jerusalem, and they left, and Joseph and Mary figured out Jesus wasn't with them, and they went and they looked for him, and they found him in the temple, and Jesus said, "Isn't this where you should have looked for me in the first place? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?" Be faithful to those things. Colossians 3 says, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as to the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequence of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." being faithful. What will we be doing for eternity? We get to practice now. We're preparing now. And of course, obviously in this life, there's great reward and fruitfulness in worship. But let's let what heaven will be like guide us today. And the flip side of that coin, someone said, what's the one thing we can do on earth that we cannot do in heaven? Tell people about him who don't know Jesus yet. So if we're about that business that Jesus calls us to, we will be faithful. In the Bible, preparation means being spiritually and practically ready for God, with God's purposes, being ready for his return. Will Jesus find us walking with him when he comes back? Will Jesus find you doing what he's called you to do when he returns? So you may not be a Boy Scout, but we have to be prepared, doing the things that he calls us to do. Let's pray. Holy Lord, we thank you for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have accomplished what was necessary for us to spend eternity with you. Lord, we know you'll return. We don't know when. But for all of us now, we pray together that each of us would be ready. We pray that each of us now will be faithful to prepare for your return. Lord, more than anything, we want to be found doing what you would have us do at the time that you return. Lord, let us live that way to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name.